this week, on the 29th of August 1989, a blood and thunder local top flight derby at Plough Lane saw the Dons draw 2-2 with Millwall. The dismissal of Eric Young took the headlines as the hosts had to settle for a point following Tony Cascarino's late goal. There were lots of things that the referee didn't see that Wimbledon got away with, Lions boss John Doherty commented. It's very difficult when other teams are bent on confrontation. That's right. Confrontation is what we like. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome to the Same Old Wombles. Today I'm joined by our producer, the man with the buttons, Dr. Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, I think. Yeah. Reasonable bank holiday weekend.
And good.
To say the least.
Excellent. And we've got our regular on. But this is the first for the Same Old Wombles. Really excited. So, tall Mark Lewis not only is contributing to the pod, but we're recording this during the second half of our cup game against Reading. Anything could happen. And tall Mark is on hand to get us to let us know what's going on. My friend, give us the details so far.
Good evening. Anything could happen, but nothing really very much has happened so far. I would say there were basically no shots of any note whatsoever until about the 25th, 26th minute. I wasn't paying that much attention, so I may have the minute wrong. At which point we backed off and allowed Fraser of Reading, who's the one first-team Reading player who's playing, to shoot from about 25 yards. Frankly, no one closed him down properly. And McDonald had no chance because he shot from wide out. And therefore, that was 1-0. However, having realised that obviously you have to score a goal to actually get someone a cup tie, we then went down the other end straight away, took a corner to the back post, Jake Reeves to the back post, and Omar basically made his, I would say junior, to be polite, marker look like
junior marker.
Really rather infantile player. Because he just shrugged him off absentmindedly and powered a header in. Which, bearing in mind, I don't think, and Dr. Adam Proctor can confirm this, that Omar has scored since God was a boy. That was quite impressive, really, you know?
I'm always pleased when Omar scores because I see the light in Adam's eyes when he scores. And
we were losing 1-0 Omar scored. Now we're drawing. What can I say?
He should have. But he should have scored on Saturday against Barnsley.
He should have scored, and
he did hit the post.
Yeah, exactly. It was a really hit the post.
That doesn't count as a goal. It doesn't count as a goal.
Very close.
That's a lot closer than Omar's been for quite a long time.
Did you see?
Yeah, so he's working his way towards
it. Also, did you see that one that Matthew Stevens put wide in the one of the Match Day Uncovered or whatever video it was?
He
runs up.
He got his foot.
He got it wrong, and then afterwards he runs up and headbutts the post.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help you.
He's on such a rich vein of form. I mean, it just feels like the penalty that he scored has sort of like, you know, in the second game, it's just really lifted him up. I mean, he's been brilliant. And we just hope that he needs to keep that form going through the whole season. But I've got to ask Mark, let's go back to the Reading game, which we're looking at live now. So right now, as you're looking at it, what's happening?
54 minutes played. Don's attacking the end where I believe the women fans are housed, if I remember from where I was there last week. So we have a lineup of Joe McDonald in goal, who's had very little to do except for no chance with the goal. Wing backs of Junior and Keng making his debut, 18, 19 year old youth team winger who's playing left wing back. Ooh. And Aaron Sass, who's playing right wing back. I say playing right wing back. He's stationed on the right hand side of the pitch. I wouldn't put it any further than actually that in terms of his abilities to succeed in that particular position. Centre backs, Patrick Bauer, who is a Bauer, very German.
Yeah, I knew that you would know that. You know
of
how
course,
to pronounce
yes.
that because of your, you know, you've been out
indeed,
there.
He's from Backnang, and I've been to Backnang. Backnang is a suburb of Stuttgart, which is in Baden-Württemberg, which, for those people who can't pronounce anything correctly in German, basically is bottom left-hand corner of Germany. And he's 6 foot 4, quite domineering. He just looks cool as fuck, frankly. That's the easiest way of explaining it. He's quite lean and thin, but he hasn't been outpaced. Looks like he's got a decent left foot. He's playing in the middle of three, as far as I can see. Riley Harbottle at the back with him with Ogs. And those two look just, as usual, pretty solid. Midfield is Jake Reeves and Callum Maycock. And again, Maycock, unfortunately, as has been feared this season, is trying hard and working hard, but just doesn't physically look like he'll make much of an impact. As I say, wing-backs in King and Sasu. And then you've got the two in behind. You have Anton Hackford on the right-hand side, Danilo Orsi on the left-hand side, in behind Omar. And we look better with a central ability in the air to be able to hold the ball up and flick the ball on. Orsi looks like a fish out of water. Omar looks decent. Hackford looks quick, but we've barely given him a chance. Reading look okay when they can be bothered, which hasn't really been very often. The ref looks like he can't really be bothered either, although he's just given a foul against Riley Harbottle for a two-footed tackle on the floor, so that's probably fair enough.
So these refs are always after us, much like that Millwall game I talked about at the beginning of the show.
I don't remember that one, but I do find it quite ironic that a Millwall
I
manager,
know.
even back then, was complaining about, getting into them and whatever else,
That was
So.
what Millwall were about. This we're talking about the 80s here. Millwall was all about confrontation. I love it that they're
And
that's hilarious.
to be fair, Wimbledon were also about making slide tackles and getting away with them. But unfortunately, I can update you that after 57 minutes, 27 seconds, the first time Sasu's got anywhere near his man, he's just kicked him and been booked, which probably will guarantee that he's taken off, which probably won't be a bad thing because we obviously don't want to overwork Asimwe, but I think Asimwe could definitely do a rather better job than the imitation that Sasu is doing right now of being a professional footballer.
So, it does make us think we've got to have that cover on the right and left, haven't we? Really is what we need. But the other thing I found quite interesting is Foyo's on the bench.
Absolutely right. Foyo and Kelly are on the bench, the unknown, completely forgotten about duo. Obviously, Foyo does supposedly have this FA charge over his head. Kelly doesn't, but it would seem like he does because, in fact, he is obviously has been pretty underused this season. In fact, I actually had to look back in some match stats to work out when he last started a game for us, which is like back in March time.
Didn't he start the first game of the season? Wasn't he on the pitch against
Until
Luton?
Luton, you're
Until
correct.
Luton.
He
Oh,
did
okay.
start. He
Sorry,
did start the Luton game, but then he hasn't been seen since then. Shot on target by Junior Kang from 25 yards, straight at the keeper.
Nice. I
Probably
love
first
it. So,
shot for about half an hour.
throughout the pod, this is what's going to happen. It's exciting. And, hopefully things work out and you'll relive this podcast and it'll be an exciting thing. Listen, I have my things with Orsi. What was quite interesting on the Barnsley match when, who was the player who went off to play for the left us, went off to play for Tyra?
Tenai Watson,
Tenai
who at
Watson.
one point turned round to the main stand with a look of absolute amazement on his face because he couldn't understand why people were booing him. And then he finally realised it was him that they really were booing.
But I think it must have been weird for Aussie as well because, we're all going, you know who you are. And, and I know it was a loan thing. I know it was different, but it does. I do still find it. I
No,
do.
and you're
I find it
definitely
difficult.
not. You're definitely not alone because if I was to ask which sort of myself, my wife, and two of our kids that were at the game on Saturday did on the way back from the game, we were sort of making little commentaries on the new players and what we thought so far. And the simple erudite observation my wife made was that Orsi hasn't cut the mustard yet and he was at franchise. So he's got to do so much more to impress and he's not. In fact, he's
And
doing so much less.
I think it's a real problem for him because I think is he going to have to try too hard? Is that what's happening? Is he getting himself into positions or running himself too hard? Does he need to just concentrate on being in the middle of the box and, getting and doing what he does? ideally scoring goals.
I think it's interesting that we've had Omar playing out of position. When he's come on, he's played wide right or wide left. Today he's playing through the middle. He's had the choice when he has both Omar and Orsi at his disposal for this game on who's going to play through the middle, and he's played Orsi through the middle. He's played Omar through the middle, and Orsi looks like he's a spare part. Whereas you've seen Stevens this season playing an unfamiliar role, playing up as a one on his own, and he's given it absolutely loads.
Yeah, yeah.
Most totally. Of us didn't know whether he'd actually cut the mustard in League One, let alone in an unfamiliar position. And frankly, he's playing well. But actually, if you ask me who's actually standing out in this game, it's in terms of an attacking threat for the Dons, it's Junior and King, left-hand side.
Yeah, well,
he looks like he wants the ball. He looks like he wants to make things happen.
And is he a possible, you know, because obviously we're running out of time. The transfer window is coming up. And we've always said we need at least someone to cover Seddon. With the theory that Oggs maybe could push right if he needed to, or push into another position if he needed to.
But is he a possible left wing back?
Yeah,
replacement?
Is he? Yeah,
I think that
exactly.
would be stretching it, to be completely honest. He's literally learning on the job.
Yeah.
If you give him the ball with a man to attack in the final third, as any good winger would, he will. He's just won the ball back by attacking his fullback here, and he's now attacking another defender and actually looking to try and get the ball in. Gets a cross in, and Orsi in the box should score. And somehow, oh my God, Orsi rounded the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper's on his backside in the 6-yard box. And somehow, Orsi failed to even get a shot on target.
There,
unfortunately. And that was all set up by Nkeng, basically, by beating his man, by winning the ball back off a defender and beating his man. I was waiting for the ball to, for the referee actually to blow up for a foul, because I assumed it must be a foul. Because everything stopped. But actually, also, you had made a good bit of skill to be able to fashion the chance, and then just didn't pull the trigger. That was really quite disappointing. In a tight game like this, they're showing the replay again now. A couple of good tricks by Nkeng, crosses on his right foot. Orsi turns, flicks the ball up, beats two defenders, and then falls over. And then with two defenders in the way, he shoots straight at a defender, then tries to claim handball, which is quite lame all around.
Brill.
By the way, I'm hoping that the sound is actually better, because thanks to Dr. Adam Proctor, I'm using new headphones, which should cut out some of the background noise and glare.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I'm loving this bit. So I just want to go back, because obviously the last show we came out before the Cardiff game. So we were at that Cardiff game, and I thought Cardiff were one of the better times I've seen down at Plough Lane, but I thought our performance even at that game, it was a really unlucky defeat. I thought that was really cool. And what was your take on that Cardiff game?
Even though we lost, I thought the atmosphere was absolutely incredible that Tuesday night. The brand new floodlights, bright, you know. They were blinding me with their brightness. It was amazing. I can't wait to see a UEFA game played under those lights. But we played really, really well. And I really enjoyed the game. And I thought it was going great. You know, it was seriously disappointing, obviously, right at the end. But it wasn't, I didn't feel like crushed, you know. You know, you have those games where you think, damn, you know. I thought like, well, actually, they were a good, Cardiff were a good team. And we played them, matched them very well. We had, you know, there was a point where we were on the back foot for quite a while, but we were doing well, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is after that game, I was just like, come on Saturday. I was like, I didn't want there to be any days between it. It was so funny. I was just like, let's play again. We're ready. So that was, I enjoyed it. It was actually quite a reasonable evening out. And yeah, so yeah.
I think because you could sense that all the fans and that we were really on board, and all we want, I think, from our team is to give absolutely everything, and they did. It was a brilliant defensive masterclass, which was absolutely fantastic. So, no, I thought that was a really good game, and then we come on to Barnsley, and I would say, and I don't know what you think about this, Mark, I would say that that's was our best performance under Jackson.
Yeah,
The Barnsley.
quickly before I talk about Barnsley, I should just add on Reading. Frankly, yes, it was very unfortunate that we lost, but I think we genuinely did lose by trying to win it.
You mean on Cardiff? Sorry,
we threw some men up.
You said Reading.
Sorry, Cardiff. God, not on Reading. Yeah. So I'm watching the Reading game now. Quick update from the Reading game. 64 minutes gone. Patrick Bauer has just been substituted, looking a little stiff. Not injured, just a little stiff. Ryan Johnson just come on, which, frankly, considering how well he's played the last few games, is pretty pretty strong substitute.
No, but that's so, Mark, what you were saying about the Cardiff game was, that's what Jackson said, wasn't it? That he felt that they were obviously gone to win it, and that in the end meant that they kind of let in the goal. But that was great. I was well up for at least they were doing that rather than trying to defend for 20 minutes or whatever. In that sense, they actually were attacking and continuing to play. So I don't think that's a bad thing.
And then when they brought people on, because really the difference in Cardiff in terms of formation was, that was the first time we played two up. And if you're going to play two up, I think most of us would choose a certain two. We certainly probably wouldn't choose the two that started, namely in Orsi and Stevens, because between them, they were really quite toothless, unfortunately. Then they came off and they were replaced by Bugle and Hackford, who are a distinctly different threat. And they really, and you can see it in the game again tonight that I'm watching, the hold up and link up play that Bugle offers you wherever he's playing on the pitch, whether he's playing in behind or whether he's playing as a central focal point, is so much more productive. And you can see that from the back, we were confident about playing the ball into him, and he was a nuisance. It was absolute pain of a nuisance. Brilliant save by Joe McDonnell on the flying header from a Reading player at 67 minutes. Saved by McDonnell, and ball cleared to go off for a goal kick. First effort Reading have had second half. Still won.
I'm loving it. It's fantastic. So should we go? We're going live to our man at the ground. Man sitting down watching. But it's, you know, here's an interesting thing then, because obviously Bugle comes on and he does his thing, but we're starting with Brown, and it is a different sort of thing. So, I mean, is there an option of playing that sort of three, you know, like Bugle with Brown and Stevens off? Or is it always going to be Stevens up top, and in which case that switches things around? Or Brown and Bugle too similar? So could that be a three?
Brown, Bugle and who?
Brown, Bugle and Stevens.
Possibly, but I think the issue you've got there is that if you're playing the formation we've done so far, which is two holding with Smith and Reeves, and then wider players in, for example, Stevens and Mars Hippolyte, those two are giving you balance, and they're giving you defensive nous, because they will work box-to-box midfield players-wise. And actually, that's really where Marcus Brown has impressed me the most this season so far, in his ability and his willingness to actually do that job forwards and back. It does mean Ryan Johnson just dived in and left their player to run in on goal, and if he's got any sense, he will score. And they do score, unfortunately. 2-1 Reading, 69 minutes. Johnson dived in about 35 yards out, with no particular threat, left midfield player to run through on his own, played the ball out to the left-hand side, and he squared it, and Kamara, the right winger, slid the ball in. 2-1 Reading.
Well, looks, this wasn't the commentary I was hoping for, to be honest, Mark.
Just being honest, Johnson, that's one of the first actions he tried to do, and obviously having dived in, he's completely he's left the man, he's striking.
It's because when he came on, you said he's been playing fantastic all season so far.
Which he has.
No, he totally
But
has.
Nobody should dive in on the halfway line, whether you're playing five aside or whether you're playing 11 aside. You know, no chance for McDonald whatsoever, just easily outpassed us.
Yeah. Oh, it's frustrating. But, you know, what we've still got, 20 odd minutes left?
Loads of time.
Yeah, the interesting thing is we have a lot of players on the bench. Now, to me, with 20 minutes left, it will be a sign of, okay, how much do we really want this? You know, are we actually going to put, for example, a Simway on to actually give us a proper attacking threat from wing back? Because we've had an attacking threat on the left. We've had nothing on the right-hand side. Are we going to bring Smith into midfield? Immediate substitution, a Simway on. Seddon on, Josh Kelly on, Daniilo Orsi off.
What a
presumably
surprise.
Two others, otherwise we'll be playing with 13 players. Junior and Ken coming off, which is reasonable because it's his first game and he's played 70 minutes, but I'd say he's played well. So Seddon on for and Ken on the left-hand side, and Kelly on for Orsi, presumably.
Yep. And is Sasu so staying on?
I'm not sure.
It's exciting,
Hackford's,
this.
Hackford's come off, so Sasu is staying on.
Oh.
So you've now got Kelly in behind Bugle. And so Kelly on the right-hand side, in behind Bugle. Left wing back, Seddon. Sasu staying there, was staying where he is. But actually, Asimwe's come on, so presumably, in fact, Sasu will be pushing forward.
Forward, yeah.
So yeah, so let me just rejig that slightly. So you've got Omar up front, and in behind Omar, you've got Sasu and Kelly. Right wing back, Asimwe, left wing back, Seddon, Reeves and Maycock in the middle, with Hippolyte and Alistair Smith still possibly to come on.
It's exciting. We are live, dear listener, through the Reading game. You know, we're playing it all things by ear. It sounds like that's what JJ's doing as well. It's going to be an exciting. It's 20 minutes, but let's get back to some other things. So, like we were saying, it was, you know, it has been. Barnsley was our best performance under Jackson, I think. And I was going to pick out three players, and you're free to throw some more in. But, you know, I was going to say Bishop. I mean, an incredible save at 0-0. The ball's squared. And like how McGoldrick's not put that in, I don't know. I mean, it's just an amazing save.
If you freeze frame the replay of that, you'll actually see that Bishop is already diving before McGoldrick goes for the chance. So he's already anticipating what he's going to do, which is absolutely world-class.
Yeah, it is amazing. And then I thought, again, Ryan Johnson, who played brilliantly. You know, don't dive in when you're on the halfway line. But I thought he's been fantastic in that back line. And I think it's testament to him and that back three that we weren't missing Lewis. So I thought that was a really interesting. And obviously Joe's not on the bench today. I think we understand it is bruised, hopefully rather than cracked ribs. Although we haven't heard anything about that. To be honest with
my,
you,
my wife actually saw Joe Lewis walking out relatively unhindered, I was told, from the game after the game on Saturday. Wanted to go and have a photo with him because that's two Joe Lewis's together, but actually restrained herself. Although he's obviously her favourite player, she being Welsh. But yes, apparently it is bruised and not cracked. Although, as you know, we don't necessarily give too much away in that regard.
No. But, I mean, so it'd be interesting to see if he's back for Saturday, which is going to be a very interesting game away at Bradford. I think that's going to be a whole new level for us because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be packed up there as well. And it'll be interesting to see, obviously, how a former player of ours, whose name I'm almost forgetting, Nurfil, is, you know, how we come up against him. And so it would be Seddon, wouldn't it? Would it be Seddon?
You imagine, Seddon will be up against Nurfil, yeah.
Yeah, but Seddon has got that. I mean, I think he's been playing brilliantly. He's got a defensive head on him. His position has been fantastic. I think he's been brilliant. And obviously for the Barnsley game, Hackford, the goal was incredible. He gets the ball in the middle of the park, little bit of jinking, looking to see who's around, knocks the ball off to Smith. Smith brushed past his man. I mean, if I was the Barnsley manager, that would be the thing I'd be most livid with. He just managed to, you know, brush his man off, put a brilliant ball through to Hackford, who just took one touch and then bang, great goal. So those for me have been players that have stood out. But then there's a whole team around I thought were excellent. It'd be hard to pick. I think it must be hard to pick them out of the match. I know they went with Bishop, but I thought, you know, you could have easily given it to Johnson. But it was a cracking atmosphere, fantastic, fantastic performance. Like I say, I would say the best performance under Jackson.
I tell you what we shouldn't do with man of the match is actually give it after 84 minutes.
No, I don't understand why you do
that. It's so frustrating.
Wait till
They did it for us. They did it for Johnson, didn't they? And then he made a mistake at the Cardiff game. And they did it for Bishop. And I was like, just do it like seconds before the whistle blows or something. Or like, because suddenly they seemed to get nervous. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I mean, you know, do it right toward, do it in the 90th minute or whatever it is. Or, you know. Or when you know what the time is, it's 90. You got 5 minutes going, and then the next announcement could be the man of the match.
Yeah. So if Philo listens, sort it out.
Philo, that's the only thing we're saying. But mate, you know, mate, Philo, we love you. We always do. But that's just our suggestion. It might be that he's probably told to do something. So you know, that's the way it is. But like I say, I can't think of a better performance. I mean, obviously beating Walsall was fantastic, but yeah. Talking of performances, is this Reading game living up to our best performances, Mark?
Certainly not. No, we look much more organised and much more coordinated now that we have a little more solidity in midfield. Now that we have a Sinway on the right and Seddon on the left. Seddon's kind of reminding me for those of listeners of a certain age of the likes of Alan Kimball. You know, because was Kimball ever our outstanding best player? No. Was he even our outstanding best defender? Probably not. But did he actually have poor games? No, he didn't.
Yeah.
It took a long time for Thatcher to be able to outplace him, really, frankly. Yeah. And in that respect, Seddon really seems to be just that kind of proper steady Eddie. Mick Dore on his Scores on the Doors blog was talking about the fact that, you know, if Jackson, with the likes of Seddon in defence, was manager of West Ham, they wouldn't have lost 5-1 to Chelsea. Or if he was manager of QPR, they wouldn't have lost 7-1, you know?
Yep.
Because, you know, we just keep a proper tight ship. Okay, breaking play for an injury. Looks like Miles Hippolyte is coming on with about 13 minutes left.
Oh, dear me. It's all a bit stressful.
I would imagine
stressful.
Hippolyte will come on for, if we're pushing it, then Hippolyte will come on for Maycock, and then they'll just try and...
Yeah.
There's a lot of room in midfield, frankly. No one's really picking the ball up very much.
I was just trying to work out why some games are half-time, but of course we kicked off at weird 7 o'clock, didn't we?
We kicked off at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yes. That, I wanted to start with that. Why 7 o'clock? Why are we kicking off at 7?
Oh, because we're playing so far away that it's going to take the Wimbledon fans such a long time to get back from Reading Station, which, to be fair, it does, because the shuttle buses take forever to leave that stadium. And then, obviously, the train back to Clapham Junction takes all of about an hour, so don't quite know why they're doing that. Reading bringing on a defensive midfield player.
Really? Do they move it? They didn't move it for that reason. They've moved it for TV.
No, I'm joking. Come on.
Thank you. Oh my days. Yeah. Not for the fans.
But I don't understand. I don't understand. But it's not on like one of the main Sky channels. It's only on Sky Plus. So I don't. And all the other games are going on at Sky Plus. And it does. I don't understand why they have to move this game to 7 o'clock. It just seems ridiculous. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are people who've missed it.
It reminds me of a COVID game. There were about as many people in the stadium as there were during COVID games, frankly. So
yeah.
That's true. Ours is the only game that kicked off at 7. All the rest kicked off at 7:45.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. I know.
Hippolyte's come on. I can't see who's come off. So hopefully we're playing with 12 players. I'm imagining Maycock's come off, but I honestly can't
play with 12 players.
Here.
Oh, dear me.
Sky themselves aren't saying anything. In terms of goal efforts since the substitutions were made, Josh Kelly had one slightly over the bar. But apart from that, no. Miles Hippolyte's come on for Jake Reeves, which is quite interesting. Don't remember the last time that Reeves was substituted.
Well,
also means we've got no holding midfield players, but frankly, we're playing a cup tie and we need to win the game. So actually, it's probably better that you leave players
who's
on.
Who's captain now then?
Very good question.
Johnson.
I would imagine, is Johnson is vice captain.
Yeah. It'll be Johnson. But... it's exciting to see how this is all panning out.
Hippolyte now seems to be playing in the holding role that Reeves would have played before, which is frustrating, obviously, because you want him that much further up the pitch. It's got quite disjointed since the substitutions, unfortunately.
And what's this? I mean, have Reading done anything particularly?
No.
You know,
obviously, Reading have made a lot of changes. I'll tell you how close they are to their first team overall. But yeah. frankly, we gave them an opportunity to run at us. I mean, if we're nitpicking, then there's been opportunities to run at people rather like we did give Barnsley the opportunity to run at us. But actually what happened there is we were breaking on them as well. There isn't much particular intensity in our play. I think without Hippolyte and Brown that much further forward, then unfortunately we are lacking a little in that. This is probably the first time that Omar would have played 90 minutes all season. So that is a good exercise in itself. Unfortunately, Hackford, people say with performances that he's been managing off the bench, like the cameo against Cardiff and obviously the incisive finish on Saturday, that would be him pushing for a start. He had a start today and unfortunately really didn't in any way particularly justify where that he should be a starter, to be honest.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Listen,
Josh Kelly in the ball on the left-hand side, picks the ball up from a loose goal kick. Don's throw in, it's close to the Reading corner flag. 81 minutes played. I would estimate at least 4 minutes injury time.
Okay. Well, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting end to the game. Listener, I hope you're enthralled with this. I mean, this is a first for us. And it just shows our lack of dedication, obviously, to the cause by the fact there are fans, obviously, in Reading. It's not a million miles away. And here we all are talking from safety of our home in our chairs. Adam, again, surrounded by his Wimbledon shirts. Mark, watching the game on Sky and bringing us updates. It's an interesting thing. I'm not entirely sure, you know, because we're all, you know, as a football fan, you can all feel that tension, especially when you get into the last 5-10 minutes and it's quite close. It's just like this real tension in the air. I always, when I'm looking at the BBC website, I notice that this things go from, you know, low thousands of people viewing it to higher thousands of people viewing games in the last like 5-10 minutes. Mark, is there any further update? What news have you got for us? Our man with the vision.
No particular further updates, unfortunately. 83 minutes, 36 seconds played. Nathan Sinway has the ball on the right-hand side. The buzz is going off on my oven, which is probably buzz, my supper being ready.
Buzz is going off on the oven. My door's knocking, so my daughter's just arrived home. It's all kicking off, everyone. Dear listener, I can't even explain the excitement that's going off here. Oven buzzers, door knocking, a Sinway on the right, and Mark?
Hippolyte on the ball, centre field, should shoot, tries to run past four players at once.
Yep, excellent.
Fair to say that Reading are sitting back on this, but we're not looking particularly full. Nathan Sinway down injured on the right-hand side, holding his face.
Okay, it's exciting.
Linesman showing no interest whatsoever, even though it's right next to him. Referee not giving any free kick or anything else. It came from when two different defenders were next to him and he was on the ball and he was kicked by the look of it, took a flailing boot in the unmentionables. The referee played on for another 2 minutes until we kicked the ball out of field.
I am wondering though, if there's a game when it's all on TV that none of us can go to, if we actually do a live version where we commentate on the whole game.
who's that?
That would be a special and a half.
Who's that United fan? There's a Man United fan, isn't there, who does it? He's always, and I think he's got a special deal now with a TV company that he's allowed to sort of like live stream his commentary during any match now. But so we just need Mark to start getting really angry and frustrated, especially in the last 5 minutes.
Well, they're showing photos of the Dons fans, and there obviously aren't quite as many as the 1,700 that were there previously, but they're looking quite angry and frustrated as well, unfortunately.
Yeah. Hey, I bet the Dons vlog people are there, so I'm sure we'll be able to watch the video in about an hour or so.
It's a very low-key game. We seem to have a kind of low-key approach to it as well, unfortunately. Obviously, you want to win the game, you want to get out of it. But at the moment, it looks like we're going out of the cup without much of a
It felt to me like it was about getting getting the minutes into players. That's what it felt like this game was to me. Johnson and Oggs just collided
again for the same ball, and fortunately they were bailed out by Harbottle.
Brilliant.
Reading on the back foot and Quab to put eight or nine men behind the ball, but we're not really actually linking play quite so coherently. And our wing backs are probably not really able to get into the attacking third with any particular impetus. And as a result of that, Reading are kind of holding us at arm's length, knocking the ball around on the halfway line, which doesn't really get you very far. Interesting that without the incisive ones further forward of a Stevens or a Hippolyte or a Brown, then we do seem to be lacking.
And Stevens is still on the bench at the moment.
No, Stevens is not involved, actually. Stevens is the one first-team player that doesn't seem to be involved.
Okay.
And to be fair, obviously, you know, you've got to manage minutes, and I'm sure he would have wanted to play because I'm sure he's a local boy to Reading, and he really was particularly chuffed by the goal that he managed in the win as well.
Yeah.
But, well, at the end of the day, we don't know whether Kelly is going to have a chance of rehabilitation or whether or not Kelly is actually going to be farmed out on loan, but either way, you know, if you've got the strikers, use them. And if they don't do anything for you, then they can't really complain if they're not actually picked for future games.
And I think that it would feel like my assumption might be that both Maycock and Kelly go out on loan or, you know, are sold potentially.
Well, I mean, this is the last pod that we're recording before the transfer window finishes.
Yeah.
If they were to go out on loan, then our squad is pitifully weak, unfortunately. Splatt played decently in the Gillingham game and got injured and went off with a knock and hasn't been seen since.
Yeah.
So our cover in midfield is really quite lacking. Our cover at the back is absolutely fine. I think.
Mark, don't get me wrong. My sense is that they only go if we can get someone in. And I think it was quite interesting. I think Terry Skiverton was saying in his interview pre-match that, you know, they're hoping to get some last minute good deals over the line. And it wouldn't surprise me. We haven't. What have we only got? One lone player in a Semwe, and usually we're up to our max. Usually we're like four or five loans. So it would feel to me weird if we go through this and we don't get another loan in.
Example of how this game really is not firing at all. Hippolyte just gave the ball away about 30 yards from the Don's goal, at which point Reading turned and went backwards and kept hold of possession and made no attempt to even go towards our goal.
Yeah. Well, why
would you? They're obviously not particularly concerned that we're necessarily going to actually have any oomph and get anywhere.
Yeah. But still, we got the 3 points. Let's remember that, all right?
Well, the question for you was, what's more important, you know?
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
Reading will now draw Man U in the next round and get a home tie and get loads of money. But, you know, it's 3 points against Barnsley, which I didn't expect. 3 wins out of five league games in August. Actually, that much more than we expected. That many more points than we expected. Did we expect to go out of the League Cup as we used to in the first or second round? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many years in a row it was that we didn't know there was a second round to the League Cup.
Yeah. Well, I think the first time we were in the League Cup, we didn't even get to the first round. Was it?
Correct. We lost in the extra preliminary. We were the only team to be in it until this season.
Yeah.
I had to do that for some reason.
Dear me. Anyhow, so just whilst Mark is... How long have we got left?
We are now going into injury time and 8 minutes. 8 minutes. Does that say 8 minutes? That does say 8 minutes. 8 minutes of injury time.
8 minutes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Which is quite surprising.
I'm not sure how we...
It's all the subs, though, isn't it?
It is subs and a bit of time wasting. And
injuries.
I'm surprised the referee was that interested, actually, in the game to want it to carry on for another 8 minutes, actually.
There's 10 subs. They made, like, there's 10 subs in the second half across both teams.
Okay, fair enough. I'm glad you're watching it more closer than I am.
I've just got the BBC page open.
Oh, anyhow.
Needless foul given away by Miles Hippolyte. Time to waste some more time for Reading. Free kick with about 25 yards out.
Oh, dear me. It's nerve-wracking. And being a Wimbledon fan, being a football fan generally, it's nerve-wracking. And always these last few minutes where you have to hope. And...
This is why I don't listen to it on the radio, because it's so stressful. And now I've got Mark literally telling me the game.
I have to say, I'm watching this game live, and I am, as everybody knows, a lifelong Wimbledon fan and invested in absolutely everything.
Yeah,
I think I felt more frustrated about the preseason friendly defeat against Millwall when we were quite easily beaten 3-0.
I like it. That will give me some comfort. So, and the other thing that's going to give us comfort is by talking about things which are sort of like not on the pitch. So, you know, we got some more DTB news. Well, you know, obviously the elections are still rumbling on. People are, and it's really off putting me saying this. And every time I'm talking, I just see Mark and he's just shaking his head in like despair.
It's not even despair. It's not even that engaged to be despair. You know, despair would be we had a great chance on goal and we messed it up. But you know, that free kick I just told you about for Reading, they played the ball backwards and we didn't even cover them.
Oh.
You know, we look like we're not bothered about the fact we're going to lose 2-1, which I think is quite damning for any professional team when you've got 5.5 minutes to be able to do something about it. Both teams look like would quite happily take the draw
take
now.
It now. So
take the result now.
Yeah, we've got the elections that are rumbling on. I'm not sure that anyone has particularly come out and said they're going to stand.
I'd like that to be a contested election. I don't care who stands or whatever they stand for. A contested election is better for democracy, whatever the election is.
No, I think there will be. I just don't think nowhere online has people started suggesting that they might be standing at this point. But I'm sure there will be people thinking about it. But they're not necessarily. I mean, they don't have a podcast. They don't necessarily want to put stuff on the internet. So I suspect we'll just have to wait till the official announcement of who's stood. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it'd be really interesting if we do get a contested election and there were a few people standing and people stood on different platforms, I think would be really interesting. Because there's often people talking about how we need to be, you know, sold or whatever it is. So I just feel that it needs those voices to be heard. I think you need those voices to be heard.
I don't think there's. I think there's like two people who say we should be sold. I just don't buy into that rhetoric at all. But I think
there may be more than that. But who's prepared to put their head above the parapet? Full stop.
Yeah. The other thing from out the DTB, and you know, we'd like to give the scintillating news here that the development of the new constitution is being pulled together, because obviously when we put our constitution together back in when we first started, it was a very basic sort of thing. Now we've developed and grown as a club, so and as there's the DTB, so the constitution is being pulled together by James Ledward, who sits on the DTB and is working with a familiar face, a friend of AFC Wimbledon, Dave Boyle, who I remember very much from our early days when the club was being reformed. The other thing to say on this sort of fan ownership thing is great news about Morecambe. We spoke to a Morecambe fan 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And, you know, the sale of the club has gone through. They had their first home game a week or so ago and managed to win 2-1 with a last minute goal, which was, you know, what brilliant thing to be, you know, get your club back and to score like that. I just think it was fantastic. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, they're still in trouble. And in actual fact, as our game is going on, so is their game against Leeds. And they've asked their fans not to attend, not to give any money out to their owners, which was something that we were doing in our last season at AFC Wimbledon. So there's
back
no
to Plough Lane.
Yeah, back to Plough. So there was no. I think there's hardly any Sheffield Wednesday fans at their home game today against Leeds. I understand Leeds have sold out their allocation. But clubs are still in trouble. Zav, our man, Walk 92, is walking the 91 sides that we recognise in the league. He's going from ground to ground. And he's doing a marvellous job there. Again, we'll put the link up if you can contribute to it. It's amazing. I think it'll be a really interesting to hear from Zav at the end, whether he talks to the official club or any of the podcasts about his journey and what he's learned, because he seems to be meeting loads of people from lots of different trusts who are doing wonderful work. I think he was at Tranmere today or yesterday. And, you know, again, they're doing food banks, but they're also collecting football boots and distributing them to underprivileged kids. So,
I say, I hope he's keeping a really good journal of that stuff, because you only catch snippets of it, and it's like, oh wow, this club's doing that, this club's doing that, and you just don't hear about that. But if some way he could document that, whether that's onto a blog.
Oh, you know. I think he's doing. Yeah, he's doing a video thing on Instagram, so you can sort of like follow his stories and the interviews as that goes on. So.
I just like to see it captured in one place at the end, like a memorial of all the kind of things in this year. These clubs have been doing all these things, and whether that's on a podcast or whether that's on a blog, just to kind of, oh, I can skim through and be, wow, look what all these clubs have done.
Yeah, clubs are doing great work. And Discord.
Someone who's not doing great work is the referee, who's now insisting that Miles Hippolyte moved the ball three different times for a free kick, with approximately 1 minute and 3 seconds left of the game. Oh, this is the last chance.
The last chance alone. So where are we? Where's talk us through this.
Header on by Ryan Johnson into no man's land, collected by the goalkeeper, no problem whatsoever. That's the end of that, you would imagine. The Reading second choice goalkeeper has had very little to do, shown himself to be really quite weak, because both of his shots that we did actually have at him, apart from Omar's goal, he spilled, but we weren't able to take advantage of them. So, yeah, 30 seconds left or so of the game, and we are playing the ball about in our last quarter. Seddon playing the ball long without actually anyone coming on to the ball, and Reading being the one that actually fights to try and pick up the ball. But I would imagine that as soon as the ball is thrown back into play from this throw-on near the halfway line, that will be just about that. And to be honest, our body language is indicating exactly that. And the referee is particularly keen to insist that we throw the ball back on at the right spot. And that is it. 98 and 11 seconds played. Final score, Reading 2 and AFC Wimbledon 1. We go out at the second round stage.
I'm not sure that this particular bit of the podcast has worked well, to be honest with you. I was really hoping for a victory or going to penalties or something. And I feel that the club have let us down on this particular version of the podcast. Whether we do it again, who knows? But we thought we'd give it a go. And I'm hoping, dear listener, that you've endured this as much as we have.
Well, to be honest, I was hoping you were going to comment wonderfully on the absolute quality of my
mate. You've been fantastic. Commentary. You've been the standout, Mark. You've been the standout of this evening.
I might have some fruit now.
Yeah, you do that. Anyhow, no, I'm excited about Zav and what he's doing. I'm sure Adam, he will have this blog. It will be kept together. I was thinking, it feels to me, and I don't know if anyone has watched, because this is obviously how boring my life is, if anyone's watched Destination X, it feels like it's a bit like that, really. You know, where is he in the country this time? It's a better version of Destination X, in my opinion, what Zav is doing.
Rather more worthwhile, and it's not a mindless TV show. I can't stand it on TV, sorry.
Well, my friend, you missed out on Celebrity SAS, which is, I've got to say...
Deliberately, yes, absolutely.
It's been one of the TV highlights.
Any opportunity for Rack and Fenwick to actually bolster his ego even more is not something I'm going to give any airtime to.
I don't think he came... I don't think he was particularly... He wasn't the star of this particular show. Anyhow, Discord. Can I just talk about Discord very quickly? Which is to say that I've been trying to sign up to Discord, and I keep getting emails going something about verification and joining on there, having to agree the terms and conditions. And I just cannot get, I just can't join. There's something I'm not pressing, or there's something I'm not doing. So I could keep getting emails going, you know, accept the terms and conditions. And I look to it and it's like, I can't see an accept button or anything like that. So all I'm trying to say is Discord's not working for me, but I think there are individuals all over the place who have problems where everyone else does it easily, and for whatever reason, I'm doing something wrong.
I would suggest downloading the app on your laptop and then opening that.
And see what it says. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, and so not only that, not only have we got commentary, we've got tech support. That's the way that we like to work it, dear listener. It's all been fun and games. It's ended on a bit of a damp squib. We were hoping for more from the team. They've let us down, but we did have Mark's brilliant commentary and observations.
A couple of little stats for you to finish off, perhaps.
Yes, I'm loving it. Come on.
That was the first time in 20 games that we conceded in the first half.
Yep. Thank you very much for 9 years podcast for putting that together. I know they're big on those.
Absolutely right. And the other interesting thing, which I think genuinely we did miss tonight, is a random stat that I found on social media, which is the most successful dribbles in League One this season. You think, why on earth we need something like that? Well, actually, we do need something like that because we need people who will bring the ball forward and actually create play, break the play up, and move the team forward. And Alistair Smith, with 10, was actually the joint fourth highest, alongside a number of other rather more tricky players, including Jack Diamond of Stockport County. So that in itself is a positive thing to actually look at. And I think we definitely can see relatively quickly, relatively easily, exactly how much we missed Smith tonight, which I think also goes back to looking at the transfer window and what's left of the transfer window and what resources we have in the transfer window. If the likes of Kelly and Maycock, as we just touched on, cannot unfortunately make an impact in a relatively low-key game like that against Reading tonight, then actually what potential opportunity are they going to have in the squad for the rest of the season, or at least until January? Having said that, Kelly is a forward who's played... He played like 38 games or something for us last season, except he didn't. He probably played about 5 games and 33 as substitute.
Yeah.
And those substitute appearances were for, on occasions, no more than 2 or 3 minutes. So who's going to take him on loan? Possibly a non-league team. Will the non-league team have the resource to be able to pay whatever League 1, League 2 wages he's earning? Likewise, Maycock, unfortunately, looks like a player who could have made a step up from non-league, from Solihull Moors. Had we stayed in League Two, possibly would have got better options or a more regular opportunity in the team. I can't see him getting in ahead of, frankly, any of the options we have in midfield, including Splatt. And obviously, Splatt being injured and not available doesn't really help either at the moment, because then we've got limited resources. We've been able to rest Smith tonight, but as a result of resting Smith and taking some Reeves off, then really we didn't have a huge amount of incisiveness in midfield.
Yeah. I mean, having watched it all the way through, is there any sort of standout? Is there anyone in there who you just think, you know, that person is... two questions. Is there a person that you think is now knocking on the door that could get in the squad? And is there anyone who you now think hasn't done themselves any favours? I'm asking that as a loaded question because I hope that you know what your answer should be.
Absolutely right. I mean, we've already mentioned the two of them done themselves any favours, namely Kelly and Maycock. Orsi, again, barely noticed that he was playing. Obviously, he's our player, he's not on loan, so you imagine he's going to stay around the squad. But, again, Foyer was on the bench, couldn't come on. Why is he on the bench if he's not coming on when you're in a situation where you need a goal? I'd wonder that in itself. And it's fascinating that we all thought that actually Stevens would be the one that may miss out. And if we were to bring a striker in by the end of the transfer window, then it would be in place of Stevens. Well, at the moment, we actually looked at without Stevens, without his fox in the boxness, then we weren't really getting so far. And again, it also showed, unfortunately, that Hackford definitely does have a trick and does have more speed than I think anyone individually in the whole of our squad. However, he is still only 20. And to be able to back up those performances, then really, you know, he was made to do so.
So what about Anusta Junior? What about him? I mean, does it feel like he's getting somewhere?
I think he's a good player, and I think if you were, I don't see, frankly, that the Junior would be any more of a risk than bringing a Sasu on late in the game. But if you're bringing him on at League One level, not League Two level, League One level, to try and be defensive wingbacks against the likes of a McGoldrick or Davis Keeler Dunn, or, you know, some of the tricks that some of those Cardiff players showed, then frankly, I think that is a little bit too much to ask. Yeah. I think it's interesting that Sidwell's gone on loan and Leo Young is on loan, Riley Horn is on loan, and Junior and King came in with that same kind of cohort in terms of signing contracts professionally for the first time at the same time, and he hasn't gone on loan. So maybe he will now, but maybe actually he'll stay in around the first team and get an opportunity. They obviously tried to play Sasu on the right-hand side, but unfortunately there are lots of things you need to achieve as a wing-back. You need to be up and back, you need to be goal side of your man, you need to be able to cross the ball well, and you need to compete in the air, and you need to be decisive in the tackle. And if you have a turn of pace as well, then so much the better. I don't know how many characteristics are named there, but I would say, if I'm being completely honest, Sasu probably came out with two of those this evening, if I'm being charitable.
But I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult. And these games are difficult. I mean, it feels like, you know, we've got a really good, we've got the makings of a very good first team, and I'd say a few decent options off the bench. My hope is, and I think all of our hopes is, that we're going to be able to get another couple of players at least. I would suggest probably on loan in the next week. But anyhow, I'm going to kind of draw this to an end. But before I do, I've just seen that Adam is very keen for us to talk about the food options at the ground, because, you know, they moved it around again at the Barnsley game. And Adam, was there one particular store that stood out for you?
Oh, yeah. The Venezuelan place was awesome. Like, I don't know what they were doing anyway, but you could basically make, you could get it vegan if you just asked them to change some stuff up. And Alex had sort of recommended it because he had one there. And yeah, it was good value. I added some extra stuff, but I think the default was like £13.50 for a whole load of like guacamole, bean stuff, rice, some nice sort of tomato salad stuff, and chips. And then I added jalapenos and like chili sauce, which bumped it up a little bit. But it was good. I really enjoyed that. I'm hoping they come again, because I think I'll go back to them. Because I wasn't sure, because there was a gyoza one as well that had some vegetarian ones. So I was almost tempted by that, because that was like £6. I thought, oh, that's a pretty good deal. But yeah, it was great.
My son actually tried the same option. And interestingly, he found that that particular flatbread, or whatever the actual type of starch opportunity they had for the vegetarian option, was actually stuffed or so full of so many different things that actually he was struggling to eat it, which is slight snag.
Yeah, I didn't really eat the bread stuff. I just ate all the filling and the chips, because it was just too much. And I actually, what was left over, I gave to Evie and she finished it off. I was like, this is great.
Well, there you are, my friends. It's that sort of bombshell we like to end a show on. And I feel, I'd just like to say, though, many thanks to Adam for setting this all up today whilst Niall's been away. He usually does our links for us. And he's flying back as we speak from Miami. And though, major shout out to our commentator extraordinaire, our man who kept us informed of the tragedy that was tonight's defeat in the League Cup, Mr. Mark Lewis.
That's quite all right. Just in case anyone was particularly concerned about what we have in store for us at the weekend, Bradford are currently 3-0 up away at Stoke in the League Cup.
Yeah, whatever. Stoke. Anyhow, they're top of the Championship, aren't they, at the moment? They've got bigger fish to fry. Chaps, I will look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you for listening, dear listener, if indeed you have done. We'll catch you soon. We're the Sabre Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth.